Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum, dear believers. Welcome to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Manira Habil Uma, and our co-host is Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. And we thank you for being here with us this evening. We'll get started and we'll open up our program, as always, with Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Malik Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Surat al-Adina ananta alayhim, ghayril maktubi alayhim walabdalin. Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And what we're saying in English, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah, cherisher and sustainer of the world. Most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor those who go astray. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. So again, we thank you for being here with us this evening. And I want to say Ramadan Mubarak to the radio audience. We pray that we are being blessed and receiving much needed benefit from this blessed month of Ramadan. And I pray that everyone's Ramadan is going well. And we're opening up the mic to our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, and extend to her the greetings of peace of Assalamu Alaikum, and welcome to the show this evening.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and Ramadan Mubarak.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Ramadan Kareem. Yeah, if you were here with us last week, we were talking and we were looking at relationships in the Holy Quran, relationships in the Holy Quran. And we read a list of ayats last week on last week's show. But I was pondering over it and I was feeling like, well, didn't really connect like with relationships. We want to look at how Allah addresses relationships and how Allah advises us and how our relationship with our Holy Quran, our relationship with our Prophet Muhammad, how our relationship with our teacher, Imam Warfdi Muhammad, our relationship with each other, how all of these work together to help us in our sacred unions, even in our community life, in our family life, in our sacred unions of marriage. The relationship dynamic is fundamental, so important, so vital, so necessary. It's the foundation of everything that we're building on in life, alhamdulillah, especially and primarily our relationship with our Lord and Creator. So we want to continue looking at relationships during this blessed month of Ramadan and using our Holy Quran as a reference for our relationships. But inshallah, this evening we will make an attempt to make it more interactive because we really love hearing from the radio audience and we really love using this format to allow the radio audience to share their wisdom and insights so that others can learn. And I'm always thinking about our younger people who may not necessarily have the elders around them to give them guidance and to share their stories and insights and what they've learned in life with them. AM360, this is an excellent format since each show is archived and can be accessed. It's an excellent format to have this information here readily available, free of charge, to anyone who searches and looks for information that can assist them and us in our lives. So, alhamdulillah. Yeah, so last week, we compiled a list of ayats that really spoke to relationships from the first juice of the Holy Quran. And I thought that there was so much in that first juice that it just about addressed anything that we could think that we might have questions about, or it would direct us to the proper way of thinking about things that we may ponder over. Okay, so for instance, as an example, the many times in life you get into relationships, or you're in a relationship, and there's some issues in a relationship, and you have the thought, how am I going to handle this? I have never experienced this before. How am I going to get a solution for this? How am I going to handle this? And Surah 2, Ayat 2, that we read last week, reads, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the book, and it is guidance sure, without doubt, to those who fear Allah. So when we have situations, and we're faced with situations, and now we have to figure out how to handle a situation, how to get information about a situation, sometimes even the cause of a situation. Do we consult our Holy Quran? This is why having a relationship with Allah and our Holy Qurans is so vital. Where do we seek the answer? Sometimes you'll call your mom, you call your dad, your brother, your sister, someone older in your family, and you'll discuss things with them. But the first area of consultation that we should have and we should adopt is consulting our Holy Quran and the example of our Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And we want to do this with humility, not looking to find someone else wrong, but first looking to correct ourselves if it is us that needs the correction. We consult Allah's holy book and the example of our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And Prophet Muhammad is an example for men and women, not just for the men, but Prophet Muhammad is an example for the human being, the best human model, the human example. Okay, so that's the first step. And tonight in our next segment, what I would like to do and what we would like to do is take the top 20 reasons that are listed in America for divorce and use our Holy Quran as a guide. Allah says, again, that this is the book, and it is guidance sure without doubt to those who fear Allah. So our divorce rate shouldn't be the same as the general public when we have our Holy Qurans. It seems that that should not be the case. And I may be idealistic in making that claim, but many times from us not knowing, first how to choose wisely, how to seek a mate and choose a mate wisely. We get into situations and relationships don't work out. But is there a way we can salvage some of the relationships and bless them to work out in a way that is pleasing to both people and pleasing to Allah? Do we do all that we can? So we want to look at that tonight. And another ayat that we pointed out, we were talking about how Allah describes himself to us in many of the ayats that we read, how Allah is introducing himself to us. And one of the attributes that were highlighted was that Allah is oft returning. Allah is oft returning. And that was ayat 37. And it reads, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then learned Adam from his Lord's words of inspiration. And his Lord turned towards him, for he is oft returning, most merciful. So we talked about how Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, inspired Adam with words of inspiration from his Lord. So Allah inspired Adam. And we look at Adam as a prophet Adam, but also Adam as a creation. And we are Allah's creation. Allah inspires us. And that, and his Lord turned towards him, because Adam was repenting and seeking forgiveness. And Allah says that he is oft returning, most merciful. And this oft returning and merciful, very, very important attributes in a relationship. Very important to be oft returning. That means oft. You're doing this often, returning, being open to, being there, returning to, revisiting, coming back to. Keeping this connection, working on it, not turning a back to something. An issue. In this case, Allah is not turning his back to us. He's off returning, most merciful. Do we turn our backs to each other? Do we put up walls and not address an issue? Do we ignore unhappiness on someone's face or disappointment? Or do we address it? Return to the issue. Being merciful to the person, addressing it in order to preserve a relationship to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone ran into some difficulty in a relationship or did something they weren't supposed to do or caused a problem, an issue, harm. Do we stay focused on that? Do we turn away? Or are we off returning and merciful, in this case, to our spouses? So Allah treats us so well, so well, so merciful, compassionate. All of these attributes that Allah extends to us should be present in our marriage. Being being off returning, open, returning to, addressing, revisiting, being there for, you know, eager to help improve our condition. Allah is off returning, most merciful, most generous, eager to assist us. This should be an attribute of present in our marriage and between each other in a relationship. So these are the types of things we want to study when it comes to relationships and framing our relationships with our spouses, our children, our family, our community. It's these are the attributes that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these are Allah's attributes. So these are the attributes that we want to adopt. So in highlighting the ayats last week, all the ayats that dealt with some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to take note of those and look at those attributes, study those attributes, and see how these attributes can relate to our relationships with each other and how these attributes can help, inshallah, with our marriages and help us earn the tranquility and love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts between us in the marriage process. So tonight, as I said, we would like to look at some of the reasons, the top 20. I found a list of the top 20 reasons why marriages fail in the United States. We want to look at those and see, seeking Allah's guidance in our Holy Quran, seeking the answers in our Holy Quran, what Allah says about them. Okay. Oh, another one that I wanted to preview really quick, and Sister Bina, you can stop me at any time and chime in. And I thought this one was interesting. When Allah talks about the children of Israel, you know, and he talks about how they turned believers out of their home, though it was not lawful for them to do. That stuck in my mind, and that is ayat 85 of Surah 2. But just that one sentence in that ayat where Allah is stating that people were turned out of their homes. This had me to think, this led me to think that in an argument, you know, back in the day, that was common. You know, in an argument, this was without guidance. But this was without being a Muslim. And this happens a lot in society today. It's different if someone is escorted from the home because they're a threat to people in the home, or there's domestic abuse. That's a different scenario. But putting someone out of the home because you're angry, because the argument didn't go your way, because you just don't want to deal with them right now at the moment, turning someone out of their home is a serious thing. And I can draw the conclusion that it's a serious thing because it's in our Holy Quran. Now, going more into that and the ramifications of turning someone out of their home, we would have to think and ponder it over it. So we know that our homes are a place of peace and security for us. Our homes are a place where we dwell in tranquility and safety with our families, with our spouses. If that's not the case, it should be the case. So turning someone out of their home is putting them into a different element away from that peace and security that the home represents, where the tranquility should be. So I can see why this can really cause a rift in a situation, in a marriage, when someone is put out of their home. And does Allah address this anywhere else in the Holy Quran? And that's a yes. In the cases of iddat, when there is an issue in a relationship, the women should not leave the home. They should remain in the home during this period. In the case of divorce, there should be maintenance, and the woman should not be turned out of the home. In the case of a widow, there should be provisions made for the woman to be safely in a home for a specific period of time and a year's maintenance in the case of being a widow. So the idea of being turned out of the home is significant in Al-Islam. So this helps us to think about our actions and what we do, how we treat each other, what the home represents. Turning out someone from their home is a huge thing in Al-Islam. Okay? This home represents where a womb, where we have been building a small community, a community life within the home. Done our Holy Quran, our Salats, fasting Ramadan. A lot of things, good things have taken place in a Muslim home. And you turn someone out from that home. A huge insult to turn someone out from that home, which is a source of peace and security. So, and this is one sentence of the Holy Quran that can get us to think about what we do and how we do it, even though this is speaking to the children of Israel. For this to be mentioned in our Holy Quran is significant. Everything in our holy book is significant. And it is for all times, not just for the children of Israel, but for us in everyday life as well. And it helps us frame our thinking and shapes us in our mind and our intellect and our hearts and our devotion and our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So, what we're going to do as well this evening, here on the East Coast, Sister Bina and I are both on Eastern Standard Time. Maghrib comes in at 7:34 here. So we're going to play a clip from Imam Warthi Muhammad shortly. And it's going to give us enough time to break our fast and pray Maghrib and come back, and we'll pick back up on this conversation. I was not able to preview this clip, but it's entitled Friends in Truth, Friends in Truth. And I think that has a lot to do with relationships, being friends in truth as well. So we're going to play this clip, and it'll give us just enough time to break our fast and make our Maghrib prayers. Sister Bina, you want to say anything? We got a couple of minutes before it starts. Are you on mute? Okay. Well.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Yeah,
so what happened is I went out the queue and I had to come back in, and I couldn't tell you that I was on mute like that. So alhamdulillah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah.
Oh, but
yes, I just wanted to
gosh.
Give you an option and make some remarks. Yes.
Yes. So on point about oft returning and most merciful. You know, the attributes that our Lord shows to us is what we should be showing to each other. I agree wholeheartedly. I was just smiling when you were talking and you were saying that. And then when you're speaking about the significance of being turned out of the home, and we can relate it the way it comes to us. However it comes to us, Allah speaks to us in the Quran. Like they say, there are so many levels to it. And you just hit one of those levels also, speaking about the significance of being turned out of the home. When we think about the home, we think about the blessing that there are in a home. You know, and now's the time we think about people who don't have homes, and we think about the blessings that we have in being in a home with the protection, the safety, the all the things, the conveniences of running water and being able to relieve ourselves in private, having our own places to rest and sleep and freshen up and clean up and you know, just to be able to serve our Lord. Just our home is such a major thing in life when we think about couples, people, period, having something stable, and to work in a reference to work from, and it's a blessing to be able to have that when you're talking about pleasing Allah. And now, and during this time, during Ramadan, is a time to think too about those who don't have homes, who don't have that security, and
yes.
How
and family.
It is. And family. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, just I'm loving the topic that you have, and I'm loving, looking forward to continuing the conversation, inshallah, after our break.
Yeah. Inshallah. Okay. So, again, we're on Eastern Standard Time. We're going to play a clip from Imam Warfi Muhammad, and we'll be back after that clip. And we pray that we get a lot out of this clip. So you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Please take a listen, and we'll be back at the end of this clip, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Alright. Turned out to be a beautiful day. Seeing all the a big number of get together like you all with the right minds and heart and spirit. Allah brings the sun out. Yeah, there's a hadith. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. There's a hadith it says the people were discussing rain that came, and they needed rain very badly. They were suffering drought. And some of the people were saying that the rain came because of scientific calculations in the heavens. And a bigger number was saying the rain came because Allah answered their prayers. So it got to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him. And he said, those who said that the rain came as an answer to the prayers of the believers, they are the ones who said it correctly. Now, excuse me a minute. I have to go and greet my friend over here, and I'll be right back.
Sir.
Now, praise be to Allah. The brother I just spoke to, I remember him in the days of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Nation of Islam. And he stood out there, and something about certain people, I look at them and something in their face, in their looks, sticks with me. So he was one of those brothers. And I know he helped my health. He suggested me taking certain remedy, natural fruit remedy, for my health, and it helped me a lot. So I had to go speak to my brother. Alhamdulillah. You know, in the Quran, Allah says, God says, the believers are the friends of one another. Are the friends of one another. And that's what I want to emphasize to you all for a few minutes that I'll be here with you now. If you say you're a brother of a Muslim, that's not street talk. That kind of expression, thousands of years old, even before Muhammad the Prophet, those who believe in God, they called each other brother and sister. Abraham is given in the Bible, Prophet Abraham, upon him be peace. He was seen with his wife. And he spoke of her as his sister. He said, this is my sister. Later, those who were not of his following, they said, this man lied. That he was with his wife, and he said, this is my sister. But he didn't lie, because my wife, wherever she is, I left a long time ago, but she's somewhere with her beautiful self. She is my sister also. They say sister of the wife, sister. You know, Abraham also was called a friend of God. Friend of God. Khalil. Khalilullah. The friend of God. And in the Quran, it says the believers are friends, the friends of one another. The plural of sadiq. One friend is sadiq. If I say my friend, sadiqi. My friend, sadiqi. Who is sadiqi? Who understood what I just said? Who is sadiqi? Yeah, we got a few. Yeah?
He's my friend.
He is my friend. That's right. Who is he? Who is sadiqi? He is my friend. The plural is asdiqa. The plural, friends. And the believers are asdiqa. They are friends. It's from sadiq. One friend, plural, many friends, asdiqa. And we are fraternity of friends. We are fraternity of brothers, and we are fraternity of friends. Of friends. Because you know God says in the Quran, the believers are brethren. The believers are brethren. Mm-hmm. Ikhwa. Brethren. From Ach. One brother. Ach. ikhwa, brethren, a fraternity of brethren. It's not just brethren, brothers, because brothers is a different word than ikhwa. Ikhwa means an organized group of brothers, ikhwa, a fraternity of brothers. So we are a fraternity of brothers, and we are a fraternity of friends. And the word friend in this language that we are coming, giving you now from Quran and from Muhammad the Prophet Sunnah, prayers, peace be on him. The word in its origin comes from truth, truth, truth. We say, Sadaq Allah al-Azim, Sadaq Allah al-Azim. God the Mightiest spoke the truth, spoke the truth, Sadaqa, spoke the truth. And we say he gave sadaqa. So the same truth is charity. And we are a fraternity of siddiq. From sit. Same word, origin. Sit means truth. And God speaks of qadam sittin. The position of truth or the stand of truth. Qadam sittin. See, I take the stand of truth. Sadaqa sittin. Upright, like this, Kadema Sitfin, from the same word. Look how we use this word in so many different connections. Truth, if you have truth, if you give it to somebody, that's your best charity. That's your best charity. So Sadaqa is a charity also, comes from the same word, same meaning. And if you have a truthful relationship with somebody, it's good. If you have a false relationship with somebody, it's bad. So the first qualification for a truthful, for a good relationship with anybody is truth. Be truthful in your relationship and be loyal to your relationship. It all depends on you being truthful. Truthful. Truth. Know the truth, for the truth shall make you free. Truth is also a condition for true freedom too, huh? See how powerful this word is? And the believers are a fraternity of friends, and the word means, comes from the word sit. Sit, which means truth and friend all in one. It means truth and friend all in one word. Sit, sitkin, call him a sitkin. Now, you know, you can't get people together and you don't have anything unless you're sincere. Or you got to be really good at deceiving people. And they'll catch up with you sooner or later. As one great man said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Yes, yes. So, we used to be brothers. We didn't join the army of Elijah Muhammad for money. We joined the army of Elijah Muhammad to give him money so he could help us realize what he promised. We didn't join him for money. But things changed in the 60s, middle and late 60s. People started joining because they were black and proud. Not because they wanted to obey God. See, we joined the army of Elijah Muhammad because we thought with him we could be truer to our God. Yes. We were disappointed, didn't have faith in the white man's religion. His world and his religion. And we had plenty of reason to not accept it. We rejected his world and his religion. Lord Elijah Muhammad cleared up our heads, opened our eyes and cleared up our heads. And we said, oh, I'm through with this. Left the church, left the white man as authority over your life. Oh, yes? Right. And we did it without somebody offering us money. Oh, no money. We came to give him money. See, if this is what you want for us, we give you our money. Right. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made material progress in time. and we were very, very happy. Yes, many of you still here with me right now. You were back then, and we were very, very happy. We were happy to see one another. Oh, we look forward to Savior's Day once a year, not just to hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but also to see one another, and to socialize with sister from South. We from the East Coast, but we know a sister in the South. We'd be expecting to see her and her family, meet them there on Savior's Day, meet our friends at different parts of the United States on Savior's Day, and we would be in the restaurants, eating and talking, socializing. We would be on around like right now on the premises, eating and talking and socializing. We were a fraternity of friends. A fraternity of friends rooted in truth. Huh? Yeah. And giving charity, even though we were poor. That's what we want to get back. Thank you. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. I hope you enjoyed that clip, sharing some insights and some teachings from Imam Wahdi Muhammad. Friends in Truth is the name of that clip. So alhamdulillah, even in that small clip, much beneficial information in that clip on how being truthful in a relationship binds a relationship, and how our Prophet Ibrahim was known as a friend of Allah. Having Allah as your friend, that's the best friend you could ever have. All praise is due to Allah. If anyone wants to give any commentary on anything that they heard prior to the clip or from the clip, you can press 1 and come into the queue, and we'd love to hear from you. But we look at these attributes that Allah has given us in the Holy Quran, and we look also at the relationships that Allah has outlined in the Holy Quran. And we get deep insight into the attributes that we should have in our relationships, in our marriages, and the types of relationships that we should have with each other. Our prophets, our well-known prophets that are mentioned in the Holy Quran, many of the same prophets that are in the Holy Bible. When we look at the lives of the prophets, they had very strong reliances on their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of our prophets had those who worked against them, had people that didn't believe, that fought against the establishment of religion, the establishment of enlightenment, of the masses of the people becoming enlightened and having a heavy reliance on someone other than them, like Pharaoh, who asked the magician, "Believe ye in the God of Moses before I give you permission?" You know? Wanting to control the masses, control the mind of the human beings. Our prophets had to stand up against this and faced resistance. And all of the prophets faced some type of resistance. So strong reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking Allah's guidance, seeking his inspiration, and gaining strength. Many of them had to pray for strength, such as Moses did, and asks Allah to remove the impediment from his speech and to send his brother as a backup with him and help him to share in his task. So we see examples of the relationships that our prophets, may Allah be pleased with them all, had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why does Allah show us these relationships? Because Allah is letting us know that we have to have strong reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a person, and our marriages as an entity should be reliant on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when seeking a mate, one of the qualities you want to look for is someone who relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who seeks guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, studies scripture and studies the example of Prophet Muhammad to see the model and how this is done. And this is modeled from other prophets as well. So we study scripture and we accept all of Allah's prophets. We don't discard any of them. And each of them have a lesson for the human being, a lesson for us. So this is why our relationship with our Holy Quran is so important. And I have to say my relationship has grown by leaps and bounds with my Holy Quran and with my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I pray that it continues to grow and we draw ever closer to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So, Bina, are you back with us? Okay. Well, inshallah, she'll chime
yes,
in when
I
she
am.
Gets back. Oh, okay.
Yes,
all right.
I am.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Yes. Alhamdulillah. So,
I wanted to say yes, and it's obvious the growth from the that you've experienced. You can hear it in your conversation and everything. So that's alhamdulillah. It's not only that you can say that, you know it, you feel it, but I'm sure the whole audience, radio audience who listens can hear it and has been hearing it and hearing the growth. Even in getting on to the topic of where you're relating things from the Quran during this blessed month, it's such a huge thing. I know I seek to hear good conversations during this month, and especially the ones that are involving us getting deeper into our religion and our way of life. Using the Quran as the reference, the source, the first thing is the best thing for us as Muslims, and keeping that first and foremost in our relationships, in our marriages, always seeking the guidance there from Allah is the best guidance that we can have if we truly believe.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You are so correct. So when we're going to look at the top 20 reasons for divorce, but before we do that, if you're not married and you're looking to get married, you're looking for your mate. You're looking for your mate. How does Allah address that in the Holy Quran? Well, for that, we're going to go to Surah 2. Let's see. Surah 2, Ayat 153. Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat 153. It says, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. O ye who believe, seek help with patient perseverance and prayer, for Allah is with those who patiently persevere. Okay? Now, without it. And how do we do this? And we have a special prayer called Istikhara, Istikhara prayer, where we seek Allah's help regarding any issue that we may have. This particular issue is us wanting a mate. And we make our two rakat sunnah, and we make dua to Allah, seeking his help, seeking his guidance. Seeking his guidance, because Allah has already told us in Ayat 2 of the Holy Quran that this is the book and it is guidance, sure, without doubt. But Allah has told us that he is oft-returning, most merciful to us. And this is the way of life Allah has established for us to live. And we're seeking Allah's help in fulfilling and practicing this way of life. So would Allah deny us? No. But it may require some patience. And that can be for many different reasons. It may be that maybe Allah has to address some things within one's own self to prepare you for marriage, or your mate to prepare them for marriage. So while Allah is getting you ready, or your mate ready, or conditions ready, we patiently persevere. We patiently persevere. And in patiently persevering, we do good things. We do good deeds. We make our prayers. We practice charity, practice kindness, be helpful to humanity, constantly improve. We're working toward the good. We don't just sit and do nothing and say, I'm just going to sit right here until Allah bless me with my mate. We continue with life in an upward with an upward mobility, and by upward I'm meaning increasing the level of our taqwa, our humanity, our good deeds, and things that are beneficial to our soul, our minds, our hearts, and our intellect. And we keep ourselves chaste and continue to strive until Allah blesses us. So that's how we begin to look for our mate. And we educate ourselves on how to choose a good mate. And we seek Allah's guidance. And we ask Allah in the Istikhara prayer, what do we ask Allah? That when Allah blesses us, If this is good for me, please make it easy for me. If this is not good for me, please turn it away from me. So we seek Allah's help, because Allah is the all-knowing, not us. We don't know. And we really have to get out of the habit of just rolling the dice and taking a chance. That's a figurative. It's just a figure of speech, but just taking a chance on a spouse. When a spouse can add so much value to your life, at the same time, the wrong spouse can detract from your life. So we want to make the best choices we can make, and this requires us to be informed, have information, consult those who know, be careful marrying strangers, and having our wali, our representative, to assist us on the journey. So after we make our istikhara prayer and we get ourselves in a position and make our intentions to look for a spouse, then we get our help, our human help, our wali, and our marriage team to help facilitate this process. You don't do this alone because you can't cover all angles alone. Okay? So we need help. And a wali for sure. And this is for male or female. Having someone to help you see clearly, keep your feet on the ground, stay focused, and then have someone assess the situation who can assess it from all angles. A father can size up a man and look at a man better than a woman can. A mother can see a female for her son, size her up better than a father. So they are part of your team, your mother and your father, your sister and your brothers. Your brother can take them out, play some basketball with him, shoot some hoops with him, see if he's a good sport. If he loses, does he get angry? You know? Yeah. They have their ways of sizing each other up. Okay, so definitely don't try to do this alone. And now you're on your journey. But we continue to make that istikhara prayer throughout this process. And we continue to make our istikhara prayers even when we run into issues in a marriage. We ask Allah's help with patient perseverance and prayer. Don't be so quick to throw in a towel. Say, oh, I'm not feeling this. I'm out. No, safala. A firm covenant established between the two. Did you take that covenant lightly? You know, did you mean it? Should not be something that you can throw your hands up and just walk away from. It takes work, prayer, patient perseverance. So any thoughts, Bina?
Yes, I agree, and that patience and perseverance should be something that's coming from the both of you,
mm-hmm.
Not just one side. It's one thing to get the information, but you want to be sure that your spouse or your intended has that same information as well, and that's something that you all agree on in going forward, because you don't want one person thinking one way or understanding something one way, and you're understanding in a different way, and you all don't find out that you don't understand it the same way until you've gotten well into the marriage. So those are things that you want to really talk through. And in those conversations, when you're talking, you can, after you've listened to what your intended wants to say, you can actually like feed that back to them and say, well, this is what I heard you say. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. And then the other person can say, well, yes, but no. Let me tell you the full explanation. Let me give it to you exactly the way I meant. And they can do the same for you and say, well, this is what I heard you say, so that you are both able to know exactly what each other is saying and that you know you're speaking the same language.
Mm-hmm.
To be on the same page, because you know you have people that come from different learnings when it comes to the Quran and the teachings, and even as Muslims, you know, you have them coming up in different households and families, and families seem sometimes you know one family might practice something one way, and you're accustomed to practicing it another way. So you just want to get to that happy medium in terms of how it all comes together when you're thinking about it, because you're reading the same book and because you know, you're living to please, both living to please Allah. And you want to make sure that that's your first and foremost thing, is you're trying to please Allah, not trying to please the other person, not just trying to get married because you want to get married so quickly, and not choosing the person, the first person that comes to you, just because you think maybe after this Ishtikhara prayer, okay, Allah is sending me what I need. No, you still have to use those tools of the marriage success team, of having people, your wali, having your friends meet this person, having your family meet this person, and this is either male or female, and going through all those things, because if knowing that you're going to be, if this is the person that you are having this covenant with, you're making this sacred bond with, you want to get all that information up front. Do your research and study it and do it up front and make sure that you cover as much as you possibly can, speaking about what you want to do initially all the way until maybe the end of your life, where you see yourself at the end of your life, so that you, you know, even though things might change in the relationship as you grow, you have some idea starting out. And you can always revisit those ideas and always revive those ideas. So, but you want to do the big leg, the most leg work in the very beginning so that you can cruise through the rest of it, inshallah.
Inshallah. Yeah, takeoff is hard. You get to the altitude, and right altitude, you can cruise and ride the wind, inshallah. You know, and one thing that your family can help you with, as believers believing in the Holy Quran, or believers believing in scripture, we think that we're believers, we have the same faith, we can get married and we can stay married as long as we live by our holy book, by the precepts of our faith and the understandings of our religion and the models of our prophets. We think that that's enough. But two things that your family can help you with are checking to see if the two of you have chemistry together or are compatible. These two items are very important in relationships. Being of the same religious belief, extremely valuable, very, very important. You're pulling in the same direction. But while that is happening, is there chemistry and compatibility? The human mind is a very powerful apparatus. We can want something so bad that we can frame solutions and convince ourselves that this is it. Which is why it's so important to have someone outside of yourself help you look through a different lens. You can be convinced, oh, we are compatible. Oh, yeah, we get along. We don't argue, this and this and this and that. And you're missing. You're missing some things that you can't see because you've already formed this conclusion. So now case closed. Your brain is saying, okay, you've decided, case closed. Many times our hearts will take over and you'll get that ting, you know, take a look at this or pay closer attention to this. But many times we override it because we want to get married. We want to get started on the journey of marriage and building family. Okay, but having your family with you on this journey, checking for chemistry, compatibility, family values, and different things that you may miss is extremely important. And all this should take place in the beginning, before you get emotionally intertwined with a prospective spouse. This is the vetting process to see if it's safe to go forward. To see if it's safe to go forward. And I always give the example of way back in the day when our families were together and the fathers were in the home back during Reconstruction, when we were now entering into legal marriages and someone came to court their daughter, the father would be right there and say, "Who is your father?" Say, "Oh, I know your father. Yeah, your father's a good man, God-fearing man. You know, I've seen him do this and this and that, and he's worked in this. He helped build this church. Yeah, he's got a farm down here. He's worked a farm. Yeah, your mother, they raised you all well. I'm familiar with this family." But then on the other hand, someone may come courting. He say, "Well, who's your father?" Yeah, I know your father. He over at that juke joint on most weekends. Okay? But if they don't know him, they're going to find out who they are. And until they vet you, you can't talk to their daughter. That was the Wali back in the day. That was the Wali that stood on the doorstep to safeguard marriages back in the day. So we have to create those things for our life because it's very important, because we're talking about marrying and having children and establishing families. So we want the best recipes for success, inshallah. Okay. So now we've gotten married, inshallah, and I pray Allah blesses everyone who is looking for a mate to find their mate in 2024, inshallah, if it is in Allah's will and plan for it to happen in this time frame. Okay? So the top 20 reasons for divorce. Number one on this list, and I don't know if they're ranked in percentages, but infidelity. Infidelity. We go to our Holy Quran, and first, our lifestyle does not leave room for infidelity because there's no dating in al-Islam. If you're married and you're talking to another woman, it should be a single woman or a woman on a personal level. First of all, that should not be happening at all. And then what does Allah, and if you are looking to have a relationship with another woman, you're looking to take a second wife, not to have a fling or be in a situation to even get entangled in infidelity. And if you're not looking for a wife, Allah tells us in Surah 17, Ayat 32, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, "Nor come nigh to adultery, for it is a shameful deed and an evil, opening the road to other evils." Allah said, don't come nigh to it. Don't even come close to it. Don't even be on the same block or the same street in the vicinity of it. Don't come near it. It's such a destructive practice to enter into adultery. It opens up so many possibilities of hurt and shame to even put yourself near this situation. So Allah says, this is the book, and it is guide and sure without doubt to those who fear Allah. we fear Allah, we accept that there are more harmful deeds that take place in this act than we can even begin to count. Okay? Especially for those who do this and, oops, now, oh, you get the call, oh, think I'm expecting. You got a child out of wedlock, a child who can't have access to their parents. Just drama and continuous drama for a lifetime from a single act. So this should never be one of the reasons why an Islamic marriage, a Christian marriage, a Jewish marriage, where people have a book, where there are guidelines, and all of the major religions agree that adultery is a shameful thing, that this is something that we stay away from, or infidelity, something we stay away from, even emotional relationships and ties with other people can be harmful to a relationship, all right? So stop talking to other people and talk to your spouse as well to keep away from adultery. So we have guidance on this in our Holy Quran. So if we follow Allah's guidance, shouldn't affect our marriage and our relationships. Okay? Anything you'd like to say, Bina?
You couldn't have said it better. 100% in agreement.
Okay. So the next one is addiction. And addiction is running rampant in our country. I mean, you hear it on the news, people overdosing fentanyl, looking for some release for some reason or another. This is not our lifestyle as religious people. We don't do this, but it is a vice in the country, and it could happen. So how does our Holy Quran, and this is Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, Ayat 91, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, says Satan's plan is but to excite enmity and hatred between you with intoxicants and gambling and hinder you from the remembrance of Allah and from prayer. Will ye not then abstain? So Allah says intoxicants. Intoxicants can be marijuana, pills, alcohol, anything that takes you out of a natural state of mind and seduces you into a false reality, keeping you and hindering you from the remembrance of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and prayer. Will you not then abstain? What need is there to get into an alternate reality when you have the best reality in studying your Holy Quran and praying? You have the sure reality, and you seek an alternate reality Well, who is the author of this alternate reality? Allah says Satan's plan is but to excite enmity and hatred between you with intoxicants and gambling. The sure reality is Allah's reality. Outside of that is grafted. It's not Allah's reality. So we don't dwell in that space. So this should not affect our marriages. Should not. Okay. And whenever I pause, Bina, you, if you'd like to say anything, just let me know. And the next one on this list is communication. So let's see what Allah says about communication. Allah says in Surah 49, Ayat 2, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, O ye who believe, raise not your voices above the voice of the prophet, nor speak aloud to him in talk, as ye may speak aloud to one another, lest your deeds become vain and ye perceive not. Now this is talking to those who were talking to our prophet. May Allah be pleased with him. Don't speak aloud to the prophet like we speak to each other, over talking, raise voice. Okay, so we don't do this to the prophet. Should we do that with each other? It's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Is Allah also instructing us that doing this is offensive? Yelling at each other, talking aloud, talking over each other? Or should we be respectful and courteous? Okay, so then Allah instructs us in Surah 6, Ayat 152. I won't read the whole ayat, it's kind of long, but it says, whenever you speak, speak justly. Speak justly. Even if a near relative is concerned, and fulfill the covenant of Allah. So this is concerning disputes justly. And we are also taught to speak a word direct and to the right. Speak justly, speak directly. We don't overtalk. We don't shout. So we have many instances on speaking and communicating outlined for us in our holy book. In Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, Ayat 85, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it says, whoever speaks for a good cause will share in its benefit, and whoever speaks for a bad cause will share in its burden. Allah controls everything. So I think that this ayat actually says so much. If there is some communicating or someone communicating an issue in a relationship and they're trying to address a problem, and the other person really doesn't want to address the problem, and they use their speaking skills to make the other person think, really, you got the problem. Your understanding is off on this. Is that a good cause or a bad cause? It's definitely not a good cause to someone to use your knowledge. Maybe you're more enlightened than the person or educated or whatever, to use that against the person instead of elevating them. You oppress them and speak to them in a way that diminishes them. Is that a good cause? We have to ask ourselves these questions. Or is it a bad cause?
Good question.
Yes.
Good question. And oppression is worse than death. That's oppressing
yes.
a person to speak down
yes.
to them. Or to have them think that their thoughts are not viable.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a caller at 636-980.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Thank you for letting me know. Let me get back to my screen. 636-980, assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Yes, wa alaikum assalam. This is Kareem Hamid calling in from St. Louis, Missouri, and I extend the greetings of peace and blessings. In assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa Ramadan Mubarak. May we all have the peace, mercy, and blessings that Almighty God extends to us, and may we receive the blessings that flow from this sacred month of Ramadan. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be
yeah,
to Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, you addressed an issue. I remember bringing this up on... it may have been the female solution or something. The ayat that you read, the second ayat from the 49th surah, Hujarat,
mm-hmm.
or the inner apartments, the inner apartments. There's
mm-hmm.
much I could really science up on the inner apartments in relationship to the subject matter that Allah addresses here about raising your voice above the voice of the prophet,
mm-hmm.
Over-talking him, interrupting him, and just
mm-hmm.
take the conversation over.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of growth to do because that's that's something that that the average person does too often, you know, too often.
Yes.
As I've said before, it's one thing to love something, but there's a higher level that must come with that love. That is respect. Respect.
Yes.
If someone overtalks you, They are showing that they do not respect you.
Mm-hmm.
They do not respect your opinion or nothing you have to say. So not only should we not raise our voice when we're speaking to the prophet, who is, praise be to Allah, what is the prophet? Not who, but what? He is a model for all of us. So if I should not raise my voice at you and interrupt you, then I'm following the model of our Prophet Muhammad. The model. One of the major breakdowns of marriages becomes the lack of communication.
Uh-huh.
And some people, if you continuously disrespect them like that, they will just shut down. They won't say anything. Now the communication is broke. And there's no telling where this relationship may end up at. But we must respect one another, especially your husband or your wife. Especially, don't overtalk. Girl, look, wait, I'm the man of this house. Blah, blah, blah. No. Wait a minute. Hold it, dear sir. You are speaking to a believer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You are speaking to a representative of the Prophet Muhammad and a representative of Adam. And Allah says he made all the descendants of Adam honorable and dignified. So when we communicate with each other, we should remember what you're speaking to. You know. So I hope that we grow to that level, that we stop over talking each other, and that we listen and respect for that person and what they have to say, especially in marriage.
But what do you think about it being disregardful? You're disregarding the fact that maybe Allah has given this person something that needs to be shared.
Yeah,
and you're disregarding, you're being disregardful of that as well.
Yes. Allah may have placed something on that person's tongue that you really need to hear.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. That you really need to hear. So, alhamdulillah, may we improve on what they call a dab.
Mm-hmm.
In Islamic terminology, that is manners. We should have impeccable manners.
Manners,
I'll stop right there, my sister. Thank you, Manira. You never cease to excite something in me.
Alhamdulillah, it's only Allah, only Allah. And thank you so much, alhamdulillah. So we have another caller. And callers, if you don't use the Noble Quran online, it's an excellent tool to study the online Noble Quran. You can choose the translation. I use Yusuf Ali translation. But you can just search anything, just one word. You can just search and everything, all the references will just pop up right there in the Holy Quran. And you can even put multiple translations on at one time to look at that ayat from different translators and compare it. So it's an excellent study tool if you don't use it, the Noble Quran. Caller 478 672. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show. Caller, your hand is raised. Is your mic on mute? Please unmute your mic.
Yes, it was on mute. Alhamdulillah.
Ramadan Mubarak to you. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, ma'am. And I have to agree with Brother Hameen. There's people I might start talking, and once they get too loud, I just be quiet until they quiet down. Because two people making a lot of noise, nobody's going to hear no one.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to hear me. I'm not going to hear you. So I just be quiet and just let you continue on, you know. So we do have a lot of them people that just want to talk louder and louder and louder, and they think they're getting over their subject by getting louder. But you have to bring it down so somebody can understand what you're saying. You know, it's sad.
Yes, ma'am.
But alhamdulillah, You know, sweetie, you sound so young. Do you mind if I ask you if you're over 30?
Oh, no, ma'am. Double that plus some.
Oh, no.
No, yeah, I'm retired. I just, I have my grandmother's voice. She had this voice, and it's always very misleading. I do sound young, but no, ma'am. I'm a retired grandmother.
Oh, I'm
ready. Alhamdulillah.
Okay,
my sister, who are you and where are you calling from?
Georgia.
Okay, very nice to meet you, and thank you for joining the show tonight.
Yes, ma'am. And take care. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, she's right. You do have that voice. But I think it was Sister Rahina when she first called in. She sounded like
Yeah, her. I did too at first. I checked the number and saw that it wasn't her. Please press 1 and go out of the queue so we can recognize you if you'd like to come back in. Okay? So we can see, and I didn't even read everything that is listed under communication. Okay? Or I just typed in speak. And all these ayats came up, okay? And just from what we have read, we get an understanding on the manners that we should have, the manners that we should have when speaking. So this is right in our holy book. So if we're really working on our relationships and we're seeking Allah's guidance and we're consulting our Holy Quran, we're going to find something in our holy book to address the situations. Okay? So we're going to take a pause for the cause, and time has moved so fast, and so we're going to ask you to stick and stay with us, yeah, and do our due diligence and get our public service announcements played. So please stick and stay with us. You're listening to American Muslim 360. Our program is just all about courtship and marriage. I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil Uma, and our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. So please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a little while.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year, or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th, thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Because there is no God but the one God.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. If you're just tuning in, you're tuning in to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil Uma, and our co-host is here with us, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. Sister Bina, you have any thoughts you'd like to share?
Those were beautiful ideas that were expressive. How we should communicate. And I was thinking when you did put your list of the top 20 reasons, I was thinking along with communication, it could be lack of communication as well.
Wait, you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can hear you now.
Yes, ma'am.
You were thinking along with communication?
I was thinking of lack of communication as well as being one of the reasons, top 20 reasons for divorce, because communication is so powerful to be able to speak what we're feeling, speak what we're thinking, and being honest with it, and holding it back is something that's not very fruitful for the marriage. You know, it's good to be clear in communication and communicating what you know what your needs are, and not to hold back, because how would a person know if you don't communicate it? Because we can't read each other's minds. We have to be able to communicate, even if it might be something that you think might hurt that person. It's always best in speaking a word to the right to make that communication with your partner, the person that you're in life with. I mean, before you share with your friends, before you share with your family, before you share with anyone, you share with your spouse. I mean, that's the greater connection over all the other connections when you become married. That's the highest connection, man and wife.
Uh-huh.
And then it just kind of spreads from that point, but that's the most sacred. So sharing with your spouse and that communication, and not having that communication, I can see what caused a ripple in a marriage.
Yes. Yes. And as you were speaking, I was just thinking oft returning, that we are checking in and checking on and returning to and engaging. You know, this is the actions that are needed in staying connected and communicating. It's, you know, you go silent. It's like, you know, you just might be just looking at a bookcase, you know, rather than just dealing with a human being. It takes us to be engaged and to communicate and speak and share our thoughts and our concerns, our fears, frustrations, all of the above. So thank you. Thank you for bringing that to the forefront. Alhamdulillah, we have another caller in the queue. We're going to go to the caller at 334-419. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Alaikum assalam. Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida, and thank you all for the program.
Alhamdulillah.
And the question again is what?
We were speaking about communication, and we were looking at our Holy Quran.
There was a question that brought communication forward. And what was that question?
It was how the Holy Quran addresses communication. How the Holy Quran addresses communication. What we're doing, we're looking at the top 20 reasons for divorce, and we're looking into the Holy Quran. Yeah. And communication was one of the, yes.
Okay, yeah, because I want to put at the top of the list the influence of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of the list. Devil
okay.
influences and invites men and women who are interested in marriage, invites them to lack of communication or understanding how men and women communicate, invites them in terms of what they say, the love languages, you know, that they don't understand how a person connects in a relationship in terms of, let me go back. Actually putting the relationship process of connecting, putting that behind individual happiness. That this is a big problem in the world right now. You hear men and women, I'm just not happy, you know. And that's very selfish, but that's what the devil does. And I'll stop there.
Okay. Well, that's a lot. Don't hang up. well, we need to drill down on that for a moment. So how will, if there is no communication, how will a person learn someone else's communication style or their love language? If a person is gonna start with the ability to be intimate and share your intimate thoughts and feelings, the ability to open up, say what you're thinking and what you're feeling, and what part of my communication has been missed, still gonna start with people speaking to each other and engaging each other with language. And if that doesn't work, you can, you know, picture language or referencing a movie, whatever it takes in order to convey the communication and to get the thought across, sharing the thoughts.
I like that very much, picture language. You know, some men have it more than others, but there's and the invitation to be the strong, silent type. It's not coming up, you know. We're looking at the John Waynes and what have you, you know. The action oriented, you know. I'll show you what I'm talking about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than express it. And a dear friend of mine and colleague told me, well, you like what I'm hearing from you, what they call modeling, I guess, in relationship language, modeling what you would like to have. Women also, in terms of knowing the nature, women are connectors. Imam Muhammad shared a translation of Surah 4, the first ayat, the first verse. And instead of the translation of Yusuf Ali points to the wombs that bore you, you know, to honor the wombs that bore you. But Imam Muhammad was more transactional, I guess you might call it. In his translation, he said female entrusted ties of relationship. Now that's very specific, isn't it? And it connects
the
female. If it connects the female with a God-given assignment, you know, that God entrusts her. You know, female entrusted. That word is very important. Well, who's entrusting? God is entrusting the female from the setting up the tone and the spirit in the house, to, you know, I've shared on other occasions, you know, how oftentimes, sometimes a lack of sensitivity from both. But in terms of women understand how man functions, you know. I'm in this cruel world. So I'm not used to showing my feelings because a sign of weakness can get me and folks I care about hurt, you know. So I swallow a lot, you know, and a sensitivity of understanding that and having an environment that establishes a safe place for me to, I'm going to just use this language, place for me to unload. I've got a safe harbor. And woman, as I understand it, one of the definitions of woman in the Quranic language is a fortress, you know. And that suggests a protecting environment. You know, you can't get in here. I'm not letting the devil up in here. You know, this is a fortress for my family, my husband, and my children. And the devil is not coming up in here. And I'll stop there.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. You know, and Bina, what you were saying earlier can apply to this situation when you were talking about speaking and mirroring back or repeating back exactly what was said. So to show that there's understanding, because there's speaking and then there's receiving on the other end. So was the communication received, as you were expressing earlier?
Yeah. You know, when Brother Michael was speaking, I was thinking about...
Can you get closer to the mic?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Thinking when Brother Michael was speaking about men and they're having to have this stance about them that they're the protectors and they really can't show the sensitivity and the weakness. Well, no, I wouldn't call it weakness, but sensitivities that women have that God entrusted to the female. And I understand that. I do. And it brought me to mind how to something I heard, and I don't have it in front of me, and I don't know it verbatim, but there was a situation with one of the Sahabas during the time of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. This person was like the most fearfulest, feared by everyone. And I'm not sure which one it was, but he was very fearful. People feared him. He was strong.
Yeah.
And
Satan would cross the street. Satan would cross the street if he was coming. Yeah.
And he was, some woman was talking to him. I think it might have been his wife who was talking to him. And he was just standing there and he wasn't saying anything. And people witnessed this, that she was able to speak to him in any kind of way or whatever. I mean, a woman was just going off, and I don't know if it was his wife or whatever, but
I remember that hadith.
You do for that woman that he allowed her to have her say what she needed to say, which was, I'm sure, on point. He listened. He was respectful. He listened. He didn't move. She could have been hitting him or anything, but he did not move. He did not flinch. He did not anything. And people witnessed this, and they were like, "A woman talking to you like that?" You know. So
exactly.
That's what I thought of when Brother was talking. But you know, and it to me that shows that yes, men can be tough. Men need to be a certain way when it comes to dealing with the world and showing that they have what it takes to protect their families, and they can also have the kindness and the sensitivity to be respectful to their spouse and understand that. Mm-hmm. And she's the same. And she's the same. And she's the same.
Yes.
Respect for him, you know, because it takes a lot for a woman to go off when she goes like that. I mean, not unless you just have one who rants all the time, but if you have a person who, you know, well, someone that is rational and who believes in a fearing of Allah, they're not going to be that way towards their husband anyway. So if she does get to that point, there's a reason that she's gone there, and she doesn't have to do that much. She doesn't have to do that a lot if the brother's sensitive to hearing what she has to say.
If I may.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Go ahead.
I have seen amongst husbands and wives in our association and outside of our association the effects of traumas and bad relationship, you know, lack of communication and whatnot, even to a point where some of these doggone brothers don't even want to go marriage again, you know. They scarred.
Mm-hmm.
You know. They feel that they didn't know how to deal with the experiences that had caused the sister to respond. I mean, to the point where some women will strike out at you. You know, because they grew up in an environment like that. They will touch you. And, you know, man ain't got no business touching a woman, you know. But, you know, well, who is this person that's hitting me then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to make light of it. But, you know, we have a lot of work to do on ourselves in terms of, and again, at the top of the list, the devil invites us to go back to that Negro nigger environment that some of us have come out of, you know, instead of accepting death. You know, ma'am told us that we were new Muslims and old Negro. I'm gonna say Negroes.
Yes, I understood. But we also have examples in Al-Islam where Aisha's father came to the house and she was having a conversation with Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and she was very excited and she was pounding on the Prophet's chest, and he came in and to check her like, well, what are you doing hitting the Prophet in his chest? Prophet Muhammad stopped him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this is my wife, you know, and this is between us, you know. He didn't need his help, you know. So Prophet Muhammad dealt with the situation. He understood the situation, and he understood maybe her frustrations as being somewhat younger or whatever the reason may be. Okay, and the hadith that Sister Bina was talking about, there was a young man going to Umar's house to seek some counsel on his wife because his wife was giving him a hard time. And he got to his house and he heard Umar's wife inside yelling at him, giving him a hard time. So he didn't bother Umar because of that. You know, so us understanding
modeling.
And modeling and, you know, that understanding the communication styles and the emotionals sometimes.
How
we have to learn how to communicate. And many times, you know, what we have to do, the areas that we are weak in, if it's communication, we need to take some communications courses. You know, I know I, as a manager of managing people, I had to take communication courses on how to handle different personalities in the workplace, how to communicate with different personalities in the workplace and everything. And I learned a lot of techniques on how to do this and how to handle this. And I found that when people get upset and voices start getting higher and everything, just a well-placed question you know, can change the whole dynamics of the situation. If I stop and say, well, what outcome do you want out of this situation? They have to now stop and think of what outcome they want. They have to stop yelling, calm down, collect their thoughts, and speak as to what they're thinking. So we need to take courses on communicating. It's not enough to say, oh, it's not happening. Well,
especially,
make it happen. Yeah.
Especially, there's a course a brother directed me to called Verbal Jiu-Jitsu, Verbal Judo. And it's dealing with what you're talking about, be able to diffuse things, questioning and whatnot. But oftentimes, I notice amongst myself and others, we don't remind one another that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is the model of psychology for all of us, the model behavior. And I have seen just bringing his name up in terms of mirroring, you know, us against how he would do things, oftentimes will bring us to a place, you know, where we're more thinking more in a balanced way. And lastly, we as a group, Muslim and non-Muslim, have been a part of a many years, decades of clinical inducement to dysfunctional behavior. And we don't, a lot of times we ignore that. We put that away.
We
don't want
to
think about it. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, so I understand your point. And inshallah, we can pick back up on this next week because there's a lot to be said in this area. And it's a lot that we really do need to address. So if you have time next week, stop back by, and we can pick back up right here on this conversation. We appreciate your input.
And I apologize for not greeting you with Ramadan Mubarak. I pray Allah. We all have a blessed Ramadan, and especially the host. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Ramadan Mubarak to you. Okay, so we're going to invite you to listen to this show tomorrow morning, Wednesday.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. We thank you for being here with us this evening. And as you can see, we have so much information that we can use to have successful marriages when we first reference our Holy Quran and the motto of our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So this is our starting point and something that we have to do at each and every turn. Your thoughts, Bina?
Yeah. Yes, you're absolutely correct. And it's just stimulating, the things that do come to mind when you begin to use the Quran as a starting place for mending and keeping relationships.
Alhamdulillah. So we're going to go out of the on our program with listening to Brother Wali Ali Fearing D, and we're very sorry that we did not have time to get all of our callers in tonight. We have one caller with a hand raised, but we are out of time for this evening. So please call back next Tuesday, and inshallah, we'll be here speaking and talking and learning about all things. It's all about courtship and marriage. So until then, we'll leave you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Go. what made him brave enough to go out and face the world? A country man came up from the dead, made his home on the sweet earth down here, loved him deep, made him love enough to go out and face the world. Fearing, firmly, neighborly, making a life believe,
loving,
a creature of fear, performing dry tears.
Fearing,
loving thee, made him love enough to go out and face the world.
Go out and face the world.
Sweet talk deceived him. Her brought him to thee. Never count him out. Faith went over down. Poor lost sinners, for squires are winning. Giving thee, what made him brave enough to go.
Loving
thee, loving thee, made him brave enough to go.
Fearing
thee, fearing thee, was what made him brave enough to go out and face the world. Making a life for thee. Oh, 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 yeah.
Love enough to face the world.
Countryman dear, came up from the rear.
Loving,
made his home on the sweet earth down here. Made him love enough to go out and face the world.
Alhamdulillah, we fear Allah in all things, and in all things we fear displeasing Allah. We pray that you'll be back here with us next week. And until then, again, we leave you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.